from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
If you wrap foil around that, just like the little bit of the base part of the banana where the fruit is, wrap foil around that top and they will last longer.
You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
Who needs your bananas to last longer, though?
Look, I don't want to go to the store every other day for bananas.
They're 8 cents each.
What the hell are you talking about? What is going on?
You're
going
to wrap them in foil?
They're better when they're just a little green. Yeah.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Too much work.
Not that much trouble, Rich.
Too much work.
Says the guy got a spreadsheet with 3,000 fantasy teams.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I don't know if you thought of this. You know what else you can do when the banana is a little green? Eat it. If that's how you like it, you don't have
to eat it. That's what I like to do. Yeah, but I mean, you know, I need 9 bananas a week. I can't eat 9 bananas at once.
No one can.
I'm gonna go to the store on Sunday or Monday and buy my 9 bananas, and I need them to last till Friday.
Not even Joey Chestnut could eat 9 bananas at once. How about that guy, by the way? We didn't talk about that story.
Yeah, that was with intent.
Kicked out.
That was intentional. That,
you didn't bring it up.
No.
With purpose.
Yeah.
Not mentioned with purpose. Joey Chestnut.
Publicity stuff.
I saw the story. And it was like prefaced by something like, in the world of competitive eating, and that's where it lost me right there. It was when I read the words competitive eating, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go do some push-ups or something instead. Just get away from it. Get away. Turn the phone off.
It's not an area of interest for me at all. I mean, I'm not. You know, I might be even like belligerently against it. Even the whole thing. It's just so stupid.
It offends you.
It just doesn't really do anything for me. So
it kind of is offensive. I could say it. I could get there.
You know, and then, oh, Netflix. It's got a special showdown. Like, oh, great. You know that, right? Like they pivoted to, like, there was all this hoopla about him being banned, and then now they've made an event, him and some other person who gorges themselves for money.
Lost is going to Netflix July 1st.
All right.
I'm going to bring that up later, but here we are.
It's been there before. It's coming back.
Has everything been everywhere by now?
It's coming back to Netflix, I guess.
Everything's a show that old.
I'm pretty sure we watched the whole damn thing on Netflix.
I wanted to watch. We're talking about watching Mad Men again, start to finish. I don't know if I want to do start to finish. Like, that's a real commitment. We don't watch anything but Top Chef.
Is it 8 seasons? How many seasons?
7.
7, okay. Yep.
So the only show we really watch, my wife and I, is Top Chef. Like last night. The finale was last night. That we watch. We're talking about 7 seasons. It's like 100 shows.
Yeah.
It's June, the first day of summer. Like, when are we going to do that?
Yeah, I think you want to start that in like November.
I've got 4 road trips over 6 weeks for my son's lacrosse. She's got hockey.
Yeah.
You know, whatever else we have, that's on our own.
Your wife's playing hockey now?
Yes, she is playing hockey. In fact, she's on the ice right now here at the 11-day power play at Harbor Center. There's a break in the action because they're reviewing the last goal for offside. It's been a while, actually. I mean, really. There's only the one official.
Yeah.
And I don't know if his iPad is broken or why is it taking so long. Let's just give it to him. It's a fundraiser. Really, shouldn't we? Remember the guy last year? You told me this. I didn't meet him. He walked by our station here. We're in the same corner of the seventh floor here at Harbor Center, above the ice. And he said, has the show ever sounded colder?
Yes.
And I just hope that guy is around today. I'd love to meet him.
Right.
Because that is really a compliment and a great line.
Listen, they like to say during this event, which is almost always held in the summer. I think one year in 21 they had it in November because of COVID that I think washed it out in the summertime, so they did it outside at Riverworks. But this building has been the home of this event, and it's been in this window, late June, early July finish. And I think, you know, they'll say when they're hey, if it's hot, you know, hot outside, just come on, you know, cool off in the Harbor Center. Mm-hmm. It's very nice in here right now. I brought a jacket in case, you know, we're going to be here for a few hours, but I don't even feel like I need it. It's perfectly comfortable, really nice time of the year to stop by. And yeah, there's going to be hockey, you know, 24/7 for the next 11 days. They just started up this morning. Tonight will be a really fun night if you want to get down here. You know, get here early and say hi to us. But 6 o'clock, there'll be a bunch of festivities here, like opening ceremonies and then some games that feature all the biggest fundraisers for this year's event. I think there'll be two of those games, so four teams full of the biggest, you know, the people who raise the most money through the night and stuff for kids. And there's even a dinner thing you can get a part of for like $20 between 5:30 and 8:30 if you want to make a whole night of it. You know, get on down here.
I mean, more than just a night. Overnight, into tomorrow, sure. Into next weekend, right. You really can stretch out. If you like the NHL, you like hockey, but you're somebody who's like, you know what? These players are a little bit too mean to each other. They're a little bit nasty. This is for you. This is the friendliest hockey you will ever see.
There's no body checking here. No.
Although, you almost got into it. The year you played,
yeah,
it was a little bit edgy.
It was. Somebody was taking liberties. I don't want to say I'm glad I don't play anymore, because I physically I wish I still felt up to playing, but I just can't really. My legs, my knees just can't handle skating anymore. But I've always had this sort of protector instinct. You know, even just playing pickup. You know, I'm a big guy. I don't add a lot. But if you're messing with my dudes, you know, maybe you're going to hear from me. And there was, yeah, some guy on the other team was just really kind of giving it to Gates.
Our former producer, Ryan Gates.
Now, I don't know if
Gates. Whatever happened to him?
I wasn't watching because I was playing. I wasn't watching closely enough to know whether or not he deserved it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have a back history of this engagement with this fellow from the other team. But I thought the guy was kind of out of line, so I went and gave him a little, and he gave me a little back, and we laughed about it. But it was, you know, really stupid.
And Ryan named his daughter Bulldog after that.
Thank you for bringing it up. I'm glad you brought it up. I'm not ashamed at all of almost getting in a fight at a charity hockey game.
Am I wrong about that?
No.
Ryan did not name his daughter Bulldog.
Oh,
in your honor.
I sort of blew right past that. I didn't want to.
I know what Ryan is up to. Next week he'll be going to Vegas for the NHL draft because he won.
Oh, right.
Tickets. And he won a trip at the season finale, the Sabres season finale, where they give away all his prizes. Ryan won the trip to the draft in Las Vegas. So I saw him at the Chopes and Dreams draft a couple of weeks ago. I know he's excited about that. Well, we're honored to be here. This has really become an important community event that is a really special thing. Mike Lesikowski with his wife Amy, who founded the event. Mike is on the ice now. Are we going to be talking through the anthem? Is that about to happen?
I think maybe that is.
There's got to be a way we can avoid that, right?
What's about to happen? I can turn the extra mic up here.
It's not the anthem yet. There's like a tribute or a video being played. But one thing I was thinking about. So you have Kevin Adams talking today, and here are the Sabres. I'm optimistic. I don't know. Am I a sucker? Like, I'm optimistic for the Sabres. I like the Lindy Ruff idea. I like a lot of the roster. Last year was bad. But I still feel pretty good about where they're headed. I bought back into tickets, so that says something. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, like, okay, so if they made the playoffs this year, we'd be happy.
Yes.
And end the drought. Do what the Bills did. Right?
Right, even if you go to Jacksonville and lose 10-6, whatever that score
10-3.
Was. 10-3, sorry.
It wasn't even that good.
Oof.
10-3.
You tell me they couldn't tack
on. It must
have
been a blizzard.
They couldn't tack on an extra field goal, you're telling me? Come on.
It must have been a blizzard.
Yeah.
The only defense for that kind of a score.
Yeah, just get in.
Get in and lose. I'm not saying I would take that because, to me, like, I'm sort of almost expecting them to make it. Maybe that's a little aggressive.
Yeah, it might be. I feel the same way as you right up to that point. I like the Lindy Ruff hire. I like a lot of the well, we'll see about the roster. I mean, I like the top end of the roster. I don't see them. If they want to add another proven scorer into the mix, that's great. But if they don't, as long as they get the bottom end of the roster right, I think, you know, I'll feel pretty good about the direction they're going. I like the decor. I liked the move for Byram. He had a bit of a tough time, I think, after like an initial good start here. But I still like the talent there. So I like what they've got there. But I don't know that I would want to get to I kind of expect them to make
it? Well, I'm saying I do not want to take a first-round loss because I want to say it's not like the worst-case scenario, but if they miss again, they miss again. I mean, I want to open up the possibility of better than that. But think about, I mean, people have made lots of times comparisons with where the Sabres have been 13 years, where the Bills were 17 years. Now the Bills have flipped it where they've been a top team. But the first year they got in, they were lucky, and they got beat. And if the Sabres did that, we'd think that's progress for them. That would be progress. What I think is interesting about the Bills to think about is, so now we're at a place, and I want to be open to hearing like any sort of pushback on this. Yesterday I said to a guest, there's a level of concern in the air here. I was talking to our guest from Detroit. And I think that might be overstating it. You know, I'm trying to find conversations with you and with people about just what people's attitudes are about the Bills at this point. So concern, I don't know, are you concerned? Like, it's just, I just think it's maybe a level down from where they've been and sort of how we've been feeling. But if you think about 5 years ago for the Bills, so after Allen's rookie season, where he's interesting, but he's not that good yet.
Right.
If I had asked you, would you take the next 5 years, exactly what's happened, I think you'd probably say yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Excuse me. Sorry. Oh, crap. Yes, I think so. I apologize. I got a coughing fit, and I don't have a drink. I stupidly didn't bring a drink. Yeah, I think so. You know, I know every time we get into this, it's sort of like, you know, you're settling for, you know, losing the Super Bowl was the last time we had this sort of conversation a couple of weeks ago. And like, well, yeah, like that, I mean, I've made the Super Bowl. So, but there is an element of, you know, I'm not striving for the ultimate goal, but the Bills have been excellent. They've had a look at it every year, and that's really what I want. You know, I know by saying, would you take, I'm taking the not the top tier achievement. But, like, theoretically for me, when you ask me a question like that, I feel like as long as I have a chance, that's what I want. You know, so I'm not exactly playing the game by the rules, I guess.
5 years ago.
When I answered.
If I had said, would you take for the Bills playoffs 5 times in a row? First of all, you would have gasped at that alone. Would you take the playoffs 5 years in a row, a first-round loss, an AFC championship loss, then 3 losses in the second round? I mean, I think probably we would sign.
Before it all started, yes. But once you get into it, then you sort of look back and, like, we're all kind of fatigued by the plateau they appear to be stuck on. And it gets harder to accept that, but I do think that's fair. I think in, you know, the summer or fall of 2019, this is before the Dallas Thanksgiving game, so before the Houston playoff loss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the 5 years we just had, I mean, I gave a whole speech a couple of weeks ago. It's been great.
The idea that a team that had missed 18 out of 19 years would go 5 in a row, like, all right, sounds awesome.
Right.
They must be pretty good. Somebody then calls in and says, I think our quarterback's really good if that happened. And, you know, mm-hmm. we'll take it, right? I mean, it's right. not over for Allen. Somebody would call in and say, all right, so it's 5 years. You're telling me you don't know what happens after that? Because Allen is 22 and or 23. That'll be 28. And I've been in the playoffs 5 times. I've won playoff games. I would have been very specific, by the way. four years in a row. Yeah. They've done that. They've won playoff games 4 years in a row. I feel like fans would have rushed to the podium.
I think a very important facet of this you just mentioned is Allen's place in all that, again, 5 years ago. I think you're right. Somebody would have brought, one of us or a caller would have said, well, the quarterback must have hit if they're even that good. And that's another reason that would have nudged me or shoved me into saying, yeah, I'll take it, because if he's that good and that's the next 5 years, I've got 5, 7, 10 more years of that at some level, and that's the most important thing to have. That is the kind of thing that can keep you at that level. And here we are now, really on the precipice of a season where we're going to find out. I think they're going to take that for a spin, just how impactful having him can be if the rest of the roster sort of turns over here. We haven't been here before. I don't think there's so much concern as there is. It's a lot more difficult, I think. Maybe this is close enough to concern. I don't have to split hairs, but it's just a lot harder to just assume they're going to be elite, because they lost an elite player and they've not really replaced him with an elite player, and they're banking on, you know, Allen sort of making up that difference, and all these other guys, none of whom are as accomplished as Stephon Diggs was, to sort of fill in the gaps. And as a fan, you sit back and look at that like, that's less of a sure thing than it's been the previous 4 seasons.
So, you have Madden, the Madden cover, Allen on the cover of Madden, all of the attention the Bills have gotten, primetime games. 5 years ago, would you have taken what's happened? Not everybody, but I think we would have felt great about it. Right now, would you take the same from the next 5 years of the Sabres? They lose in the first round, they lose in the conference finals, and they lose in the second round 3 years after that. I think that sounds kind of bad, but it seems similar walking in.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, why is it different? It doesn't have to be. You might disagree with both of these situations.
I think, again, I'm going to get cute with it, but, like, I'm in the tournament, and if it turns out that way, it turns out that way. If I'm good enough to be there.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it sounds pretty good. Getting in, losing, going deeper, like what?
You're kind of the Leafs.
Winning, yeah, right.
You want to be the Leafs?
And we'll look, right now, yeah. But, in 5 years from now, I'll be kind of like where we all are with the Bills. Like, okay, what now? Is this cycle over? Is Tage Thompson aging out? Like, am I?
That's the difference.
What's my team?
That's the difference. you know, you have Thompson, Cousins, Dahlin, Power, Paterka.
Quinn, like, yeah.
Sure. You've got Luukkonen. You've got these players. It's pretty a pretty young group. And I'm telling you, in 5 years, they'll have been to the playoffs five times, but never made even the finals. What is the outlook going forward from there? You don't. I won't know if all those guys are still around. You know, probably they're not all still around in 5 years, no matter how well they do.
Right.
Even though they're all under contract for right. not Paterka yet, but
or Quinn,
kind of.
But yeah, that other group is they got a lot. They got a lot of runway.
The difference is Allen. That's the difference because I think, like you said, in the football equation. All right. How would you have felt 5 years ago? Exactly what's happened to the Bills has happened. We would have gone, well, I can't imagine that happening without Allen hitting. And he'll be 28 at the end of that. And I should still be fine. And you're talking about the guys they've lost. They're going to find out. We're all going to find out if they're still fine. Because he's 28 and still here. But I would think of the Leafs. The Leafs are only talking about, the people we're talking about what they're going to do to break it up, mm-hmm. how they're going to break it up. And that would be the case here. It would feel like an ending. Or give or take a year, it would feel like an ending. And the difference is you don't have, there's not one player.
The carryover's not there.
Right. Now look how good McDavid is. This is 9 years. Into his career, right. And it's the first time they've done anything.
Right, you can have the best players or two of the best players in the world on your team, and yeah, it's been 9 years, nine for McDavid, 10 for Dreisaitl, but they've been together for 9 years, and it's taken them until now to get here, and they, you know, they were barely alive 4 days ago, but now it's a series. But yeah, hockey's funny that way.
Talking about 99 yesterday. That team wasn't good at all. But they were close to winning the cup. You know, that's what you want. You want the Sabres to get in and not necessarily win the President's Trophy or have home ice or anything, but just sort of get on a roll. At that, like 06 was for a while, you know, just sort of get in and then get on a roll. And because in hockey, in football, it's so much quarterback driven. In hockey, it's just sort of like so random. I don't want to sign up for five straight second round exits
right.
or whatever.
Yeah. There just is not, yeah, there's not a position, even goaltender, like if Luukkonen, I assume they're going to get him signed and he'll be number one for a while here, but without seeing it, I mean, if he becomes Connor Hellebuyck or something, then that might change it, but there's very few guys in the league. Hellebuyck is one, and there might be only a Shesterkin maybe, where you go, I'm all set there. Like I let's run long term, and even now, like the Rangers have got to figure out what they're going to do with Shesterkin, and I don't know. I saw one article today, like $12 million a year. I don't think I ever want to do that for a goalie. Like I didn't want to do that for Carey Price for $10 million a year 7 or 8 years ago, or whenever that was. He signed that deal, so this is not that stability. Like it's not as meaningful if Luukkonen's really good. He'll be good for a little while, and then, like, if it gets too rich, I don't know. I'll want Levi to take his place.
But in football, Jared Goff can be worth $50 million
right.
a year, and you can sort of justify it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for me, the difference. 803-0550 for your calls. We've got a few guests lined up for this afternoon. Matt Verderam will join us talking NFL and a little bit on the Chiefs. We always talk to Matt about the Chiefs. We will have Paul Hamilton on at 5. Reflecting on some of Kevin Adams' comments today and talking about the finals, which continue tomorrow night in Edmonton. Mike Lesikowski from the 11-Day Power Play, that's where we are today, down at Harbor Center. He'll join us. He'll jump off the ice and, you know, picture somebody running upstairs on skates, that, to get to us to be here promptly at 5:30. Thanks for listening. Would you take the last 5 years of the Bills from the Sabres? What are your thoughts on this little thought exercise? Mike Schoeb and the Bulldog at Harbor Center. This is WGR.
So it's hard for me to look at Buffalo and say, okay, well, they have one of the tougher schedules of the teams in the AFC East. They're not as talented top to bottom as they were the year before. and really think that this is going to remain their division for the taking. I don't necessarily think that Buffalo is going to be like the third place division team in this race here, but even third place in this division is going to win, what, like 9 games, maybe even 10 games, right? I mean, it's still going to be a really good football team. To me, it's just going to come down to the wire where two, maybe even only one win separates who's hosting from this division and who might be left out of a wild card scenario.
That is Trevor Sikkema. What do you think about that? So, in the AFC North last year, third place was 10-7. To Trevor's theory there, third place could still win 9 or even maybe more games. That's what happened in the AFC North last year. And you might, it seems intuitive, like, okay, well, if New England is terrible, they lose all 6 division games. That just sort of props up the other teams and makes that more likely. Last year in the AFC North, Cincinnati, finishing last, won 9. So you didn't even have to have that for that to be possible. Somehow that division ended up, everybody had a winning record.
Well, it really, to me, that all hinges on whether the Jets are real or not. And you know, there's reason to think they will be. I mean, it really hinges on Rodgers and that all holding together physically for him, most importantly, and then, you know, all the rest of it. I'm not buying in. I'd be worried about a 40-year-old guy coming off an Achilles that's kind of taken on the role of, like, I don't know, king of the franchise. But they could be. They do have a good roster, you know, outside of him. They're you know, they're talented, they're deep, the skills are good. But it really hinges to me, the division being that competitive really relies on it. I'm not expecting New England, you know, to even be 500, even though that's impossible now, because stupid,
it's tougher.
17 games.
It's tougher.
You have to have a game canceled or something.
Ties.
Which did happen. Right, ties. But the Jets, Miami, and the Bills, like, they could beat Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and the Browns from last year. That could happen. I wouldn't expect the Patriots, like I said, to be what the Bengals were last year. They're just not ready to do that. But the rest of it could be. It really, because I think Miami, even though they've lost some important guys, I still think that offense will be good enough for them to win 10 or, like, kind of have the kind of year they had last year. Beat up on the teams that aren't that good. Struggle with the better ones, and, you know, they did that all year last year and didn't lose the division until the final day of the season. So it's the Jets to me that hold that equation. They're the key to that equation, I think.
I was reading Denny Carter today at NBC Sports, and he did a Bills fantasy breakdown, and in the end, like a conclusion, he not for his house, but bet the under on 10.5, and his take was, and I think it's you know, reasonable, that the 10.5 over under in the betting market for the Bills is up there with San Francisco and other top teams. I mean, Kansas City's at 11.5. This can vary, but reading Denny, he was like, that's a little bit much, a little bit rich, you know, for what's changed with the Bills. And, you know, 11 has happened a couple of times. I mean, they've had better seasons, but 10-7, which is sort of like both these analysts, I think where they kind of end up is under 10.5, but not by a lot.
Right.
And Trevor's point about finishing third, 9 or 10 wins, I don't know. I've said this summer, this offseason, that I would be okay with that. I mean, I think for this team that's done so much winning – but has had some important departures. If they got to 10 wins this year, I'd be impressed. I think, you know, that's I would sign for it. But it doesn't sound that great. You know, winning 10, losing 7.
I mean, it
doesn't sound like much better than just barely above average.
It sounds like the Steelers, kind of.
It does. It is the Steelers.
Right? I mean, that's I guess, you know, 10-7, what's happened around me? You know, the Chiefs were the 3 last year with the same record as the Bills. The Bills, of course, beat them in the regular season and thus had the tiebreaker. So, you know, if I'm 10-7, did I finish third? Did I finish or did I win the division? Right? Did I beat Miami and the Jets head to head or something? But we all ended up with the same record. But I'm the three. What's the winner of the AFC South? What's their record or anybody else out there? I guess I'm assuming Baltimore and or Kansas City would beat that number of wins in their divisions.
Somebody would have to.
Right. So, 10-7 is, not a great record, but if I'm the three, which I've been before, maybe that's okay. I've kept the division streak going. I'm home at least for week one of the playoffs, and we'll see what happens, in the rest of it. But it is sort of just really it's agreeing to not be competing for the one, which has really been the goal the last 4 years.
And it might still be their goal.
It should be their goal, but I'm not thinking about it nearly as much as I was.
I am also not.
Even in 20, once 20 got going, I don't know that I went into the 2020 season thinking about the one seed, but once we got a look at them and realized that they were at the level they were, like, okay, go get it. They didn't. And then since then, of course, we've been, sort of striving for that. The fan base has been into that. I've certainly been into that. This year, I don't want them to not try to do it, obviously, but I'm just not, I don't feel it's as realistic as it's been. And that's sort of that step back mentality that we were talking about at the outset of the show. I think there's just a different feeling because of the uncertainty about certain pockets of the roster.
That season, by the way, 2020, the Bills just got so hot mid-season on. They lost to Arizona, and that was it. But Kansas City was like never gave them a single breath. The Chiefs had won here early that season, that late afternoon game, and they went to 14-1 before losing their finale in a throwaway game to end up at 14-2. So I don't remember that so specifically now, just what that conversation was. It was still pretty new that the Bills were like running away with the division, if that's what they were actually doing. But getting the one seed always needed help from the
right.
Chiefs that
never came.
Yeah. I remember watching one of these games. I look at their schedule now at my friend's house, and it was close, but they always got there.
And the following year, 21, 13 seconds year, I remember watching a game with you against Denver late in the year that Denver looked like they could do it, and
right.
then there was a late fumble or something,
right.
and it just Melvin Gordon – and that ended that. But like that was a look at it anyway, and it obviously didn't come through.
Right. That's 2021.
Yeah.
Week 18, the win in Denver. Well, we're here at the 11-day power play. Did not expect to see the trap today. I didn't feel like these teams had enough time to really practice.
You didn't notice Jacques Lemaire behind the blue team's bench out there? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, now I see him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not expect to see the trap, but always great to be here for this event. Admittedly, it's a little distracting. It's different from staring at the walls in the Duntire studio every day,
right.
Counting the seconds up top, just the way my brain works here.
Right.
Just like I'm at a hockey game
right.
as we're talking.
That kind of never stops, really. Yeah.
This week, I know. This week we have talked to guests from Detroit yesterday, Arizona with Howard Balzer earlier in the week. Arizona, the Bills' week one opponent, I'm guessing you haven't figured out a way, you haven't yet constructed anger toward Jonathan Gannon, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. Still have time. But.
What I'll need to do is really go back and overanalyze to an irresponsible extent that somewhat famous speech that he one of the first speeches I think he gave the team last year when they got to camp that was pretty the way it was portrayed on social media was like, what the hell is this guy doing? You know what I'm talking about?
Like I'm trying to remember.
There was a lot of charisma for the guy talking, to trying to like get everybody dialed in for the season. I just remember it just being portrayed as, this is their head coach? Are we sure about this? I mean, doesn't have to mean a lot. I mean, it's more about the week to week and getting everybody ready, but he seemed like he fell flat there. So I'll get there on him. I can't stand Kyler Murray as my franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I still really believe, like, if baseball was set up in a way where he could have gotten a big contract sooner, he'd be playing baseball. I don't know that I want a quarterback leading my team who might be rather having more fun playing another sport. So that's how I feel about him. He's very talented, but I just don't – I'd have trouble buying in. I have had trouble buying in to him as a, like, the kingpin of my franchise. But maybe he's maturing. We talked to Howard Balzer, like you said, earlier this week, and he said to us that he seems like a different dude than he's been prior to all the stuff. But
I think the question is just how good he is. I mean, he has been, at times, very productive. You know, I think in terms of fantasy, earlier in his career when he ran a lot, Kyler Murray was great to have. And mostly since then, it's been a little bit of a letdown. So what kind of player, if you give him, which I would want to, maybe you wouldn't, the benefit of the doubt on work ethic and just like the behind-the-scenes stuff, again, there have been questions about him, but I don't want to assume the worst when it comes to that. Then what do I have? If I give him that benefit of the doubt, then what do I have? Put Marvin Harrison on the field. Put even Trey Benson on the field. Like McBride is my pick to be tight end one in the NFL this year. He was amazing late last year. Certain other candidates are out there, including the Bills' own Dalton Kincaid, Kelsey, Andrews, Laporta, but Pitts even. But I would pick McBride. So the Cardinals have weapons now.
Mm-hmm.
What do I get from Murray in that environment? I don't know about Gannon. I realized today when thinking of asking you, when are we going to get, you know, your tirade on the Arizona the coach? I mean, we're still waiting. I realized how little I knew about him. So he was a three-sport star at, you probably heard of it, St. Ignatius High School in Cleveland. He was a hurdler. He was a point guard on the basketball team, and he was a receiver and a DB on the football team. And then just as kind of since he got into coaching after being at Louisville, I wonder if Eric Wood knew him when he was at Louisville. I think it's maybe a year or two apart, but he might have. Then he just sort of has moved from job to job, ultimately the Eagles, and then to the head coaching opportunity in Arizona. Not somebody I would recognize if he were at Harbor Center today.
No.
I wouldn't know it was him.
No, you give me that photo of the coaches at the owners' meetings, and I'm not – he's one of the guys who would be like, I'm not sure who that guy is.
And contributing to that is – when I looked him up today and got this off Wikipedia, there's no picture of him on Wikipedia.
Huh.
NFL head coach.
Wow. We sure he's a real guy?
I mean, wouldn't you think head coaches, there'd be a picture of them on Wikipedia?
Yeah, like with a headset on, holding a clipboard or something, like just
right.
You know, looking all coachy.
There's no picture at all.
Huh. That's kind of odd.
You know, if I were a Cardinals fan and I knew how to do it, this is something I would fix.
Get on his Wikipedia.
Because I don't want my team's head coach being on Wikipedia without a picture of his face. Like, let's get real here. We're an NFL team. If I were Mark Dalton, I'd be out there putting a picture
of. There you go.
How long does it take to do that? Like 5 minutes? If you knew how to do it, it'd be no time at all to put a picture of the head coach on Wikipedia. That's something I would feel like is important.
I'll bet it's
I'm going to text Mark.
I'll bet it's as easy as just copy and pasting a photo from your collection. You just find a photo of him and just plop it in there. I bet it's not.
You can just walk right into that page and do that.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I bet that's right.
I think that's how it works.
That's how it works. More from Harbor Center, the 11-day power play. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog coming up here on WGR. Welcome back to Harbor Center. Day one of the 11-day power play. Not sure if it's the first of the tournament, if I can call it a tournament, but weird to see a stick measurement. I did not expect to see the trap, offside reviews, and they've really stepped this thing up. I mean, the seriousness has been elevated if you have stick measurements and offside reviews in the 11-day power play. And that's a testament to the growth of this event.
Well, that's what happens when you invite Jacques Lemaire onto the bench.
Jacques Lemaire.
That's what you get. That is what you get.
I mean, I don't know. Would you want to be Jacques Lemaire? The reputation? You know, I think you would. won
sure,
a lot.
Sure, yeah. I mean, he won a bunch
as a coach,
as a player, and then as a you coach would. As well. So, yeah, I think you would take that.
Cool. You would take it. Yeah. He didn't cheat.
No, but he murdered the game for a while, I would say.
I wish we had thought to murder the game. Were we above it?
No, they tried. They tried. They tried to. They just weren't as lethal.
We will talk to Paul Hamilton at 5 today. Sabres GM Kevin Adams spoke. And I mentioned yesterday or the day before on the subject of Jeff Skinner having been at the Q&A the Sabres held with fans last Wednesday night. And there was a Jeff Skinner question. There were lots of questions, and Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams were very, forthcoming about certain players and what they need in terms of leadership and style of play and these things. But when it came to Skinner, Ruff got a question about him, and he basically said words to the effect of, well, he's had a great career. He's scored a lot of goals.
Yep.
And it was nothing along the lines of what he'll mean to the future of the Sabres. There's been speculation. Paul will tell us that he's been, involved in it from when the season ended about whether Skinner will still be on the roster. I thought maybe this is what everybody would say. Adams saying, quote, everything's on the table. And also talking about, as Paul wrote, like the quotes from Adams are on the website, how he and Jeff, I thought there was true honesty back and forth between Adams and, like, true honesty is like what? It's not we're going to extend you.
Right. No.
It's not we want to make you captain.
Right. Do you want to waive your no trade and keep your contract intact? Like, we'll eat some of it, but is there somewhere you'd like to go play? Like, you're sort of in charge of this, but we'd like to not buy you out. I'd like them to get him off the roster without having to do that. I think as a last resort, you do that because you don't have a spot for him. And, his style is just not going to mesh with what you're trying to do here. So I think they're going to have to one way or another do it. But, yeah, the honesty would come within the framework of, yeah, we want to move you. Are you receptive to that in any way? Like, outside of us trading you to Toronto, is there somewhere you'd like to go play hockey? And, I shouldn't assume he'd like to go play in Toronto, but he's from, outside of Toronto. Just if he cooperates with you, I don't care at all what you get back. But if you can eat 4.5 for 3 years rather than bite off 6 years with the middle of it being 4 and then $6 million in back-to-back years, I would much rather do that. I'm not worried about $4.5 million this year, maybe by next year, as they ramp up competitively, like become a cup contender as opposed to just a playoff contender, like that's the objective. I'm going to want that money. So I think the timing would work a lot better if Skinner is receptive to working with them and trying to facilitate, a move to wherever.
How else can they persuade him? Can they buy him a car or something? Can't one of the Sabres, like friends, sponsors, just buy him a car? Would Bettman ever find out? Maybe that's a house. Would it have to be a house? What would it have to be? Like, why wouldn't?
Yeah.
Look, it's millions of dollars difference here.
Right.
Win-win.
Make it happen.
Like blue chips.
Right.
Just give it. You got to give them something.
Right.
What's it going to take?
A yacht.
It's not some chips. I mean, it's not just going to be chips. It's got to have to be a yacht, sure. A boat. An RV.
A big boat.
Anything. How can we persuade you to make our lives easier? What will it take? I'm sure that happens.
To some extent, sure.
In sports.
Yeah.
Come on. Tampering happened in the NFL. No one cared. The Falcons did get fined, but whatever. They got Cousins. And they promptly drafted a quarterback at 8 in the draft.
To replace him.
The tampering was so necessary to get him signed that they went ahead and picked a quarterback at 8. That's a team right there. That's a franchise. Bulldog hates the Falcons. He doesn't really hate the Cardinals. That's the bit. The bit is we hate the Cardinals, which we don't. He will. You will hate the Cardinals by the time we get to September. I'm counting on you for that. But you do genuinely hate the Falcons.
I feel very shortly after I get back from Europe, I'll be ready to get you what you need on the Cardinals.
Okay.
I'll spend some time on the beach in the Mediterranean contemplating what my problems exactly are with this Gannon fella.
Yeah, it'll be the conversation people are having.
Oh yeah. In Spain, especially.
In Spain.
Yes.
In Spanish, but in Spain.
Right.
At least it'll be the conversation people are having. Okay. Matt Verderam on the Bills, the offseason in the NFL, Kansas City, and more after this timeout here on WGR. Bulls, and then to the head coaching opportunity in Arizona. Not somebody I would recognize if he were at Harbor Center today.
No.
I wouldn't know it was him.
No, you give me that photo of the coaches at the owners' meetings, and I'm not. He's one of the guys who'd be like, I'm not sure who that guy is.
And contributing to that is when I looked him up today and got this off Wikipedia, there's no picture of him on Wikipedia.
Huh.
NFL head coach.
Wow. We sure he's a real guy?
I mean, wouldn't you think head coaches, there'd be a picture of them on Wikipedia?
Yeah, like with a headset on, holding a clipboard or something, like just you know, looking all coachy.
There's no picture at all.
Huh. That's kind of odd.
If I were a Cardinals fan and I knew how to do it, this is something I would fix.
Get on his Wikipedia.
Because I don't want my team's head coach being on Wikipedia without a picture of his face. Like, let's get real here. We're an NFL team. If I were Mark Dalton, I'd be out there putting a picture
There you go.
How long does it take to do that? Like 5 minutes? If you knew how to do it, it'd be no time at all to put a picture of the head coach on Wikipedia. That's something I would feel like is important.
I'll bet it's
I'm gonna text Mark.
I'll bet it's as easy as just copy and pasting a photo from your collection. You just find a photo of him and just plop it in there. I bet it's not.
You can just walk right into that page and do that.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I bet that's right.
I think that's how it works.
That's how it works. More from Harbor Center, the 11-day power play. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog coming up here on WGR. Welcome back to Harbor Center, day one of the 11-day power play. Not sure if it's the first of the tournament, if I can call it a tournament, but weird to see a stick measurement. I did not expect to see the trap, offside reviews, and they've really stepped this thing up. I mean, the seriousness has been elevated if you have stick measurements and offside reviews in the 11-day power play. And that's a testament to the growth of this event.
Well, that's what happens when you invite Jacques Lemaire onto the bench.
Jacques Lemaire.
That's what you get. That is what you get.
I mean, I don't know. Would you want to be Jacques Lemaire? The reputation, you know, I think you would.
I mean, he won a bunch
as a coach,
as a player, and then as a
you
coach
would.
As well. So, yeah, I think you would take that.
You would take it. Yeah. He didn't cheat.
No, but he murdered the game for a while. I would say.
I wish we had thought to murder the game. Were we above it?
No, they tried. They tried too. They just weren't as lethal.
We will talk to Paul Hamilton at 5 today. Sabres GM Kevin Adams spoke, and I mentioned yesterday or the day before on the subject of Jeff Skinner, having been at the Q&A the Sabres held with fans last Wednesday night. And there was a Jeff Skinner question. There were lots of questions, and Lindy Ruff and Kevin Adams were very, you know, forward, you know, forthcoming about certain players and what they need in terms of leadership and style of play and these things. But when it came to Skinner, Ruff got a question about him, and he basically said words to the effect of, well, he's had a great career. He's scored a lot of goals.
Yep.
And it was nothing along the lines of what he'll mean to the future of the Sabres. There's been speculation. Paul will tell us that he's been, you know, involved in it from when the season ended, about whether Skinner will still be on the roster. I thought maybe this is what everybody would say. Adams saying, quote, everything's on the table, and also talking about, as Paul wrote, like the quotes from Adams are on the website, how he and Jeff, I thought there was true honesty back and forth between Adams and, like, true honesty is like what? It's not we're going to extend you.
Right. No.
It's not, we want to make you captain.
Right. Do you want to waive your no trade and keep your contract intact? like, we'll eat some of it, but is there somewhere you'd like to go play? Like, you're sort of in charge of this, but we'd like to not buy you out. I'd like them to get him off the roster without having to do that. I think as a last resort, you do that because you don't have a spot for him. And, you know, his style is just not going to mesh with what you're trying to do here. So I think they're going to have to one way or another do it. But, yeah, the honesty would come within the framework of, yeah, we want to move you. Are you receptive to that in any way? Like, outside of us trading you to Toronto, is there somewhere you'd like to go play hockey? And, you know, I shouldn't assume he'd like to go play in Toronto, but he's from, you know, outside of Toronto. Just if he cooperates with you, I don't care at all what you get back. But if you can eat 4.5 for 3 years rather than bite off 6 years with the middle of it being 4 and then $6 million in back-to-back years, I would much rather do that. I'm not worried about $4.5 million this year. Maybe by next year, you know, as they ramp up competitively, like become a cup contender as opposed to just a playoff contender, like that's the objective. I'm going to want that money. So I think the timing would work a lot better if Skinner is receptive to working with them and trying to facilitate, you know, a move to wherever.
How else can they persuade him? Can they buy him a car or something? Can't one of the Sabres, like, friends, sponsors, just buy him a car? Would Bettman ever find out? Maybe that's a house. Would it have to be a house? What would it have to be? Like, why wouldn't yeah. Look, it's millions of dollars difference here.
Right.
Win-win.
Make it happen.
Like blue chips.
Right.
Just give it. You got to give them something.
Right.
What's it going to take?
A yacht.
It's not some chips. I mean, it's not just going to be chips. It's got to have to be a yacht, sure, a boat, an RV.
A big boat.
Anything. How can we persuade you to make our lives easier? What will it take? I'm sure that happens.
To some extent, sure.
In sports.
Yeah.
Come on. Tampering happened in the NFL. No one cared. The Falcons did get fined, but whatever. They got Cousins. And they promptly drafted a quarterback at 8 in the draft.
To replace him.
The tampering was so necessary to get him signed that they went ahead and picked a quarterback at 8. That's a team right there. That's a franchise. Bulldog hates the Falcons. He doesn't really hate the Cardinals. That's the bit. The bit is we hate the Cardinals, which we don't. He will. You will hate the Cardinals by the time we get to September. I'm counting on you for that. But you do genuinely hate the Falcons.
I feel very shortly after I get back from Europe, I'll be ready to get you what you need on the Cardinals.
Okay.
I'll spend some time on the beach in the Mediterranean contemplating what my problems exactly are with this Gannon fella.
Yeah, it'll be the conversation people are having.
Oh yeah. In Spain, especially.
In Spain.
Yes.
In Spanish, but in Spain.
Right.
At least it'll be the conversation people are having. Okay. Matt Verderam on the Bills, the offseason in the NFL, Kansas City, and more. After this timeout here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.